I want to share this morning about something that changed my life and my understanding of what it means to be a Christian. And it is so awesome. I love how God works and confirms what He's doing in church. And that's why we give opportunity for people to share words. And we ask different people to also share in the offering. And it's just an amazing confirmation. Again, just the words that has been shared about God being great and awesome and big, and that we must put our trust in Him because He is powerful and He is sufficient. Do everything, and we can come to Him like a child running to a father that is an awesome, powerful, yet loving father, and that we should come to Him with an attitude of thanksgiving in the way we approach Him. Now, if that would have been a summary of what has been shared already, that is pretty much my sermon. But I'm going to share it anyway. I'm just going to expand on what has already been shared. I've titled this morning's message, I Am Who I Am. And I don't know where that comes from. Who of you still remember where that phrase came from? Sorry, you must be a bit louder. I'm a bit deaf. Exodus. Wow, now look at this. Exodus 3:14. That is very good. Let's go to Exodus and let's start at verse 9. I just want to say, you know what? It is so awesome to have the old generals. No, okay, let's not use generals because, you know, in the charismatic words, that's a loaded term. But those who have walked the walk faithfully and are still with us. I mean, it's awesome. I just want to say that. There's very few youth, sadly, that will know it's Genesis 3:14. Exodus 3:14. So let's just go to Exodus 3:14 and let's just read from verse 9. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me. And I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh, that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? And then he said to him, I will certainly be with you, and this shall be a sign to you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. And then Moses said to God, indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? And then God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. I want to share a little bit on something that I shared in Bible school about 2 weeks ago with the second years. And that is something that really changed my life as a young Christian and my understanding, not just of who God is, but of who I am as a Christian in relation to this awesome God. The God that says, I am who I am. And in a large sense, it speaks of the fact not only that God is almighty, all-powerful, but it speaks of the fact that God is all-sufficient. One of the attributes of God, not just the fact that He is eternal, but that He is all-powerful, all-knowing, but is also all-sufficient, which literally means He needs nothing. God needs nothing. God has everything that He needs within and of Himself. God does not need anything. So, my question to us this morning, and this is a very important question that I want to start off with, is does God need us to do what He wants? Does God need us to do what He wants? Now I want you just to think about that question for a moment in light of what we just read. My question is a simple one. Does God need us to do what He wants? This is a very important question. This is the all-powerful God, but also the all-sufficient God. The God that exists in and of Himself. He does not need anything. Nobody has to give Him power. And He is not looking for help out there. I think this is something that I want to stress at this point. But the fact that He chooses to use us is a completely different matter. God does not need Moses to deliver His people, but He chooses to use Moses to deliver His people. These two completely different things. But I want you to keep that in the back of your mind. Does God need anything? And more specifically, does He need me and you to do what He wants? Or does He choose to use us to do what He wants? He doesn't need me. He doesn't need you to help Him for anything. He doesn't need us or anything. That is who God is. God is self-sufficient. In Acts 17, verse 24 to 25, we read the following: God, who made the world and everything in it, all-powerful, all-sufficient, God, who made the world and everything in it, since He is the Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is He worshipped with men's hands. The stuff that we bring to Him, He's not worshipped by that. As though He needed anything, since He gives to all life breath and all things. Did you see that? This is the God that gives life to everything, that doesn't need anything. As a matter of fact, He's the one that gives everything. He doesn't need anything. God doesn't need us. He doesn't need anything else, because within Himself He has the power, and that power within Himself is infinite. And I think this is so important throughout Scripture. The self-sufficiency is the fiber of the God in the Bible. Why is that so important for us to understand in our approach to God? Whatever God chooses to do, He has within Himself all that is required to accomplish that work. So why do we give to God? If God doesn't need anything, and within Himself He is self-sufficient and of need of nothing, why do we give to God if He needs nothing? It is not God has this project in mind that is going to be hard to accomplish and therefore He needs us to help Him. That's not the case. It's not that God needs missionaries to spread the gospel. That is not the case. If I'm going to reach the world, God is thinking, well, this is going to be a big and tall order. I need some volunteers out there. That is not God. God doesn't need us to do anything. Yet why does He call us to serve Him? Because He loves us, but that doesn't explain why He calls us to serve Him or to give if He doesn't need anything. Who of you have ever heard this concept that if I don't know or if I don't go, how is it going to happen? I mean, if I don't give of my finance or my tithes or my offerings, how is the church going to grow? So surely we give because we are helping God. Surely we give of ourselves, of our time, of our effort, of our ability. Surely we give up our lives to go to the mission field, to the mission field. Surely we give of our income, of our tithes and our offerings, so that we are helping God to accomplish what He wants. Isn't that so? If God doesn't need anything, why do we give to God? In Psalm 50, it's a very interesting psalm. You can turn there with me if you've got your Bible, but otherwise I've got it at the back. Psalm 50 is a very interesting psalm where God speaks to His nation, Israel, His own people, and He is judging them. God is the judge. He is the prosecuting attorney. And Israel is standing before God, and it's very interesting. And we read this account in Psalm 50 from verse 4 to 15. And He calls to the heavens above and to the earth that He might judge His people. Do you see that? He's not judging the nations. He's not judging the world. He's judging His own people. He's calling heaven and hell before as witnesses, almost as the jury in the skies against His own people. Gather to me my faithful ones. Do you see that? Gather to me my people, my faithful ones, who made a covenant with me by sacrifice. Do you see that? The heavens declare His righteousness, for God Himself is the judge. So clearly He's talking about the people of Israel, His own people, those who have practiced the sacrificial system that He has put in place. Do you see that? God is speaking to His own people. Hear, O my people, and I will speak. O Israel, I will testify against you. I am God, your God. Not for your sacrifices do I rebuke you. For your burnt offerings are continually before me. See, it's very interesting. God starts off by saying what Israel is not guilty of. They are not guilty for not bringing the sacrifices. Now, God is saying, you are bringing me your sacrifices. You are bringing it before me day and night as I have commanded you. Not for your sacrifices do I rebuke you. Your burnt offerings are continually before me. But then He continues and He asks this, and He makes this statement, and He says, I will not accept a bull from your house, or your houses, or goats from your folds. For every beast of the forest is mine, the cattle on 1,000 hills. I know all the birds of the hills, and all that moves in the field is mine. If I were hungry, would I not tell you? For the world and its fullness are mine. Do I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? So what is going on here? God is judging His people, and He's starting off by telling them what they are not guilty of. You're not guilty of not bringing me the sacrifices and the offerings that I've commanded you. They are before me day and night. But there's something wrong in your bringing these things to me. Here is the problem. Israel is bringing their sacrifices with the same mindset as the nations around Israel, the pagan nations. They're coming to God with the same mindset as the pagan nations are coming to their gods with their sacrifices. You see, they're coming to their gods because their God is needy. Their God has a need that needs to be fulfilled. And we see that even in Africa and India and everywhere, most religions in this world that worship idols, whether it's the monkey god, or the rain god, or the river god, or the ancestors, they have needs. They are hungry. So we bring them food. Who have you seen those sacrifices in India before? Who have you know the ancestor worship when you slaughter cows and goats to please the ancestors? Why? Because they are needy. They are hungry. So we come to them to feed them. With our sacrifices, we are meeting their needs. We are coming to them with what we have to meet their need. And when their stomach is full, when they are pleased, then they will bless us. But if we don't feed them, if we don't meet their needs, they will curse us. You see, so Israel had this mistake in their theology, in their giving of their sacrifices. They came to God with an attitude that He needs something, and we are here to meet that need. And as we meet your need, you are going to bless us. The pagan nations that surrounded Israel believed that these gods that they served got hungry, and that they had to go and feed them, to please them, to satisfy them. And as they satisfy their God will bless them. What picture does this paint about God and us? We are sacrificing to God because we are helping Him out. We are helping Him out. We are meeting His need. We are contributing to His need, helping to satisfy His emptiness and His hunger that is within Him. God has a desire, He has a need, and here we are to save the day. We are helping you, God, to give to you what we need. Look again at what He says as we go back to verse 8. Now for your sacrifices, I do not rebuke you. Your burnt offerings are continually before me. The problem is not that you are not sacrificing. The problem is your theology of sacrifice. Verse 9 or verse 8. Not for your sacrifices do I rebuke you. Your burnt offerings are continually before me. I will not accept a bull from your house or goats from your folds. For every beast of the forest is mine, the cattle of 1,000 hills. I know all the birds of the hills, and all that moves in the field is mine. If I were hungry, will I not tell you? For the world and all its fullness is mine. Do you see the point God is making? They are worshiping God as if He's needy. And we are here to give and help Him out. I mean, how many times has the offering basket not passed through in so many churches? And the theology of those who give are giving to help God out. Because God needs our help. And therefore we give. How many times have there not been a missionary that made a call for the laborers to come into the harvest field, to call for those who will sacrifice their life to go, because unless we go, we will not be able to reach the lost. As if God needs our money. Or God needs our time. Or God needs us volunteering to serve Him. The theology of our giving. Take this a step forward. God, I'm giving because I'm helping you to do what you want to do. I'm volunteering to do so that I can help you. Take this a step forward, and it leads to entitlement. God, because I have helped you in meeting your need, surely you should help me in my need. What does this say about our relationship with God? God, you owe me. God, you owe me. Because I have given to you faithfully for 30 years. God, you owe me. God, I have given up of my time. I've put my career at hold. I've given you the best years of my life. God, you owe me. God, I've given you my children. God, you owe me. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19 to 20 says the following. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit which is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own. For you have been bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. God owns everything. He not only owns all the wealth, all the cattle, all everything that's in this life. He did not just create everything, gave everything life. He owns everything. And even our lives are owned by God because He brought us back from death through His Son. Do we owe God anything? We owe Him everything. Not just anything, but everything. Does God owe us anything? Nothing. God owes us nothing. In Deuteronomy, verse 8, verse 11 to 18, it says it's so powerful. God speaks to His people. He says, beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping His commandments, His judgments, and His statutes, which I command you today. Lest when you have eaten and are full, and when you have built beautiful houses and dwell in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply, and your silver and gold are multiplied, and when all you have is multiplied, when in your heart it is filled up, and you forget your Lord, your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led you through the great and terrible wilderness in which fiery serpents and scorpions and the thirsty land where there was no water, who brought water to you out of the flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna, which your fathers didn't know, that He might humble you, that He might test you to do good. In the end, then you say in your heart, my power and my might of my hands have gained me this wealth. Then you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you power to get wealth, that He may establish His covenant which He swore to your fathers as it is to this day. Do you see that? We owe God nothing. We owe God everything. God owes us nothing. We owe Him everything. Because He has given everything that we have, everything, God makes it so clear, everything that we have, everything that you have, everything that I have, everything that I have accomplished, it's out of the hand of God. God owes me nothing. On the contrary, He has given me everything. The breath that I breathe, the ability to speak, the ability to gain wealth, the ability to have what I have. Everything has been given to me. I owe God nothing. I owe Him everything. Not nothing, everything. God owes me nothing. Israel were thinking they were helping God out through their sacrificing to Him. That they brought Him continually, day after day. This poor, hungry, needy, desperate God, we are helping Him out, and God responds to them. Here in Psalm 50, from verse 13, with this potent question, do I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? Do I buy and sell with money? Do I need your help to go into the nations? Do I need your help to serve so that others can be saved? Do I need you? God is asking. Then God gives this answer. In the midst of this state of attitude in their giving, God speaks to Israel and He gives this answer to this question, do I eat the flesh of bulls or do I drink the blood of goats?
this required response from us towards God, what does He require from us towards Him? For those who owe everything that we have to God, what should our response be? How should we bring our sacrifices? It's a very simple, yet powerful mindset, an attitude from the heart that reflects our heart. Something that Israel lacked, that nullified everything that they sacrificed. Something that Franz spoke about just a moment earlier. Verse 14. Offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving. Offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving. Not offer to God a sacrifice of giving. No, offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving. Simple yet powerful. Mindset, reflection of the heart in our giving to God. God says, don't bring me your bulls and your goats as if I need anything. Bring them to me out of a sacrifice of thanksgiving. I don't want your giving, I want your thanksgiving. I want your heart in your giving. That is what is powerful. Thanksgiving, simple yet powerful. What does thanksgiving imply in terms of our position towards God? If we come to God with thanksgiving, what does that say about us and God? It simply says that we are the receiver and God is the giver. Not we are the giver and God is the receiver. Do you see the order has changed around? When I come to God and I give to God with thanksgiving, I'm saying, God, I'm giving to you because you're the one that gave to me. I'm the receiver. I'm not the recipient. I'm not the giver. I'm the recipient. I'm the one that responds to everything that you have given me. And the tables are turned and God says, now that, Israel, is what I'm looking from you. I don't need anything. I am the giver of everything. I have given you everything. When you come to me, acknowledge me as the one that gives you everything. And when you sacrifice in your giving, let it be a thanksgiving in acknowledging me. I am the full one. You are the empty one. I am the wise one. You are the fool. I'm the one with power. You are the one who is weak. Offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving and perform your vows to the Most High God and call upon me in the day of trouble and I will deliver you. I shall be glorified. You see, you shall glorify me. Do you see the order there? So powerful. Offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving and perform your vows to the Most High. What is the response to that thanksgiving? God says, I and you call upon me in the day of trouble and I will deliver you. And you shall glorify me. Do you see the order? I will rescue you, and you will glorify me. Not you will give to me, and therefore I owe you. No, you give in sacrifice of thanksgiving. And when you're in trouble, you'll call on me, and I will help you. And then you will glorify me. Not because I owe you anything, but because I am the giver, the one who saves you. Romans 5, verse 7 to 8 says this, for scarcely a righteous man will die, yet perhaps for a good man someone will even dare to die. But God demonstrated His own love towards us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Do you see the order here? We were still sinners, we were still dead in our trespasses, and God came to save us, not because we did anything. Not because we deserved anything, but simply because God loved us. We love Him because He first loved us. So God is saying, I am the one who saved you. I'm the one who rescued you. I'm the one that gives you life. I'm the one that gives you power to get wealth. I'm the one that delivers you whenever you call upon me. So when you come to me with your sacrifices of giving, let it be thanksgiving. Worship me for who I am. God is the rescuer. God is the helper. God is the stronghold. God is the rock, the refuge, the provider, the protector. Who am I? I am the receiver. I am the receiver of everything that I have. I am the weak, the needy recipient of all that God has to give to me, without which I will die. Everything that I have, I am nothing. In light of eternity, for all-powerful, all-knowing God that created the universe, that measures it in the span of His hand, I am nothing. The entire universe God holds like this. The earth is not even a speck upon it. And I'm in that little speck. And I am nothing in compared to who God is. Nothing. Yet, this awesome, all-powerful, mighty God knows my name. What is the Son of Man that you would care for Him? That you are mindful of Him? Isn't that awesome? This awesome God that needs absolutely nothing turns to me and loves me. Not because He needs anything. He doesn't need me. If it wasn't me, somebody else would be here. He doesn't need me. He loves me. He not just loves me, He says He knows the very hair on my head. He knows the number of it. This should break out in awe within ourselves if we realize how awesome and how powerful and self-sufficient God is. Yet, this distant, awesome, powerful God is so close that He is mindful not just of me, of my name. He knows the very hairs on my head. This is the God that we serve. He's given me life and everything that I have. What is my response to this God? Well, it's called thanksgiving. It's a simple word. It's thanksgiving. In my giving, I thank God. In my giving, I acknowledge God. In my serving God, whatever I give to God, whether it's my time, my ability, my finance, whatever it is, it's out of thanksgiving. It's not because He needs it. No, it's because I want to acknowledge Him. And I want to thank Him. Philippians 4 verse 6 says, be anxious of nothing. But in everything with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. See, that is so important because so many times we come before God and we point our finger to God and say, God, You owe me. God, I have given You this and I've been faithful in this and I've done that. Paul says, listen, you be anxious of nothing, but with everything in prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. There's a difference between coming to God and saying, God, I've done this and I've done that and I've been faithful in this and faithful in that. You owe me. Surely, God, help me. Versus, God, I want to thank You for everything that You've given me. God, You've given me life. You've given me breath. You've given me the ability, my health. Everything that I have, God, You've given to me. I pray that You'll help me. As opposed to God, You, I've done this and I've done that and I've done this and I've done that. Therefore, God, won't You help me? Do you see the difference? That's why I believe Paul says, with thanksgiving. because we can be so easily caught up in our fear, in our circumstances, and point our finger to God that He owes us. But when we come to God with thanksgiving, in the midst of our circumstances and our fear and our uncertainty, it changes everything. It changes everything. See, my attitude in giving and my attitude in doing, it's the attitude in which I give and the attitude in which I do that God responds to, not the amount. Remember the widow with the 2 copper coins? But because I acknowledge that I am nothing without the great I am, I acknowledge that God is the source of all that I have, because I acknowledge this all with an attitude of thanksgiving. An attitude of thanksgiving. God responds. Not because I'm entitled to anything, but because I'm thanking God for everything. God responds. Everything I do and give becomes a sweet aroma before God. Because all of a sudden I start to give and do out of thanksgiving. All of a sudden I start to give of myself, of my time, my ability, my finances, because I'm acknowledging God gave me everything. And all of a sudden my giving and my doing and my being becomes an act of worship that is acceptable to God. And you know what? God responds to that with even more. God responds to that. I want to end off with one verse, well, a portion of Scripture. And I think I've preached on it before, because you can have a whole sermon on this, but I don't have time left. But I want to end off with 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6 to 15. And I want us just to look at God's heart and our response and this word thanksgiving and how this cycle continues as an example of God's heart. Here it says in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6 to 15, "But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity." Why? Now, this is not just money, people. Please don't misunderstand me. I'm not making a call for finance. Why? Because God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you. Well, why is He able to make all grace abound towards you? Because He's all powerful. And He doesn't need anything. That you always, having all sufficiency in all things, you see who is the source of all sufficiency in all things? It's God, who responds to our thankfulness in our giving, in our thanksgiving. You see that? May have an abundance for every good work. Do you see that? As we give to God with an attitude of thanksgiving, not of entitlement, but of thanksgiving, God responds. "As it is written, He has dispersed abroad, He has given to the poor, His righteousness endures forever. Now may He who supplies," you see the source, "the supplies, the seed of the sower and bread for food, supply and multiply the seeds that you have sown and increase the fruit of your righteousness. For while you are enriched in everything with all liberty, which causes" what? You see, God wants to bless us. And He is blessing us. The response of that which we receive should be thanksgiving through us to God. For the administration of this service, not only, now listen to this, the administration of this service, the finance and the service, the giving and the service, not only supplies the needs of the saints. You see, it doesn't supply the needs of God. the needs of the saint, but also is abounding through many thanksgivings to God. You see, this what we are giving, Paul is saying, this is what you are giving is not just supplying the needs of the saints. It is also leading to thanksgiving. Why? Because that what you give, now you see, now I want you to look at this carefully, the cycle. God blesses you. You blesses others. They are being blessed. What is their response? Thanksgiving to God. Who gets glorified? God. Why are you giving? Abundantly, not sparingly, but with a cheerful heart. Why? Out of thanksgiving. So you are responding to God's giving. You are giving, and others are responding to receiving with thanksgiving again. You see the cycle? Abounding through many thanksgiving to God, while through the proof of this ministry, they glorify God for the obedience of your confession to the gospel of Christ and for your liberal sharing with them. And all men. See, here it continues on just beyond the saints. And by their praise for you, who long for you because of the exceeding grace of God in you. Now, do you see this? God blesses us. We respond with thanksgiving. Somebody else receives the giving. They respond with thanksgiving. You see, everybody is glorifying God. And then, not only have we given out of thanksgiving, somebody has received and gives thanks. God says, those who have received from your giving are praying for you. Do you see that? They are praying for you. But now it's so interesting. God starts off by saying, listen here, God is the source of everything that you have. He gives, you respond in thanksgiving. He has the ability to give you the seed and the bread. Okay? And in your thanksgiving, what does He do? He multiplies that. But not only that, those who receive, they are also praying to God that God may bless you. And now this becomes a circle of blessing, isn't it? But more than that, that's how we normally see it. We see it as a circle of blessing. You know, it's not a circle of blessing. Yes, it is. But you know what it's primarily? It's a circle of thanksgiving. Not of receiving, but of thanksgiving. So many times we only look at the receiving, but it's about the thanksgiving. This is the circle of thanksgiving in which God is glorified. And then it ends off. For all your liberal sharing with them and all men, and by their prayers for you, who long for you because of the exceeding grace of God in you, thanks be to God for this incredible gift. Do you see the cycle? At the end of the day, it's all about God. It's all about Him. It's about acknowledging Him. It's about thanking Him. And even in the giving, the offspins of our giving, and our sharing, and our living, and our volunteering, you know what? Others glorify God. And everything is about a cycle of thanksgiving. Glory to God within it. The end of this all is not more receiving. It's more thanksgiving. Did you see that? That's the God that we serve. So I want to ask us, and I want to maybe just ask the band to come up, and I want us just to end up with that song that we sang in the beginning, Our God is Great. Can I ask that? Sorry, I didn't arrange that, but I just think it is such an awesome song that just speaks about who God is. And I want to have an opportunity as we sing this song, just to thank God, just to come to God with an attitude of thanksgiving. for life and for everything. And let us consider our giving. Let it be thanksgiving. Not compulsion. Not because we want, not because he owes, but because we want to. And I want to encourage you in this day and this week as you go and you see opportunities to give what you have received. And I'm not just talking about finance. I'm talking about you've received forgiveness. Won't you give forgiveness? Not because you want something in return. Or somebody is worthy for it. But give it out of thanksgiving to God. Say, God, thank you for forgiving me. Father, therefore, I want to forgive her. Not because she deserves it. I didn't deserve it either, God. But I want to forgive out of thanksgiving. And when there's somebody that needs a hug, that needs love, that is alone, that is needy, that is desperate, whatever it might be in this world that we face in this week, because you'll have so many opportunities to thank God through your giving. Give somebody a hug. Give somebody attention. Sit next to somebody. Help somebody. Do something. But do it out of a heart of thanksgiving. Can we ask God for that? So that he may be glorified, that we may put in a circle in this community of thanksgiving, thanking him. God, thank you for sending somebody to me today that was willing to spend this time with me, that was willing to share with me love, forgiveness, gentleness. Can we do that? Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you that you have given us everything. And even our very lives, our eternity, it belongs to you. So God, I want to respond. I want to respond every day, God. I want to respond. I want to remind my soul every day. I want to remind my mind every day, God. I want to remind myself that everything that I am is because of you. Everything that I have is because of you. Every opportunity is because of you, God. And I want to respond to that with thanksgiving, God. I want to acknowledge you, Lord. I want to worship you, Lord. I want to give and share and shower that what I've received from you, because you are a good God. And Lord, you are glorified when I do that. Others will turn and glorify you because of the little that I share that I have from you. So God, as we are here, and I'm just going to ask you just for a few moments before we start to sing, just thank God. Just start to thank God in your own heart, in your own words. Just start to thank him for what he has given you, the life that you have, just where you are. Just thank God.